We're on to our 10:50 agenda item, which is an open period for public comments. This is, as it says on the agenda, an opportunity for the public to provide brief comments on items relevant to council business, but not otherwise listed on the agenda. Vito. Vito, not that you, okay, you got them. I'm going to say not that you need the microphone, but just so we can get
put
you.
It right on, Mr. Chairman. I know it needs to be recorded. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, all of New England Fisheries Management Council. My name is Vito J. Calamo. I am the Executive Director of the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission. I sit on the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. I'm a chairman of the Massachusetts Fishery Commission. I'm on the executive committee for the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. And I'm on the sea heron section. But I'm here to speak, Mr. Chairman, as Vito J. Calamo, Citizen USA. I'm here to speak, Mr. Chairman, on something that is not on the agenda. It is Amendment 4 to the Herring Plan. This plan, Mr. Chairman, I know what's spoken about as it's a dual plan, involves the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, as we have done for many years, having committee members and the C-section sit together, evolving the plans that have brought forward Amendment 1 and now to be Amendment 14. Mr. Chairman, I am beside myself not to understand why we haven't been invited to sit at the table along with the committee members. As you said in the beginning, I will quote you, state fisheries off the top before we decide tax or fisheries. State fisheries off the top. The majority, I believe, especially in 1A, come from state territorial waters. For I was once a heron purse seiner and built a new vessel to go heron purse seining and mackerel fishing and other pelagic fisheries. And the majority of that fishery come within state territorial waters at times. So it is important that you include the heron C section when you go forward. It sets the precedent for other dual plans that we're involved with. And maybe we could help, as we have done in the past. My second one, Mr. Chairman, is real quickly, is we talked about almost a year ago in Maine at another meeting of the New England Fisheries Management Council of having maybe a fisherman's committee. I see time is passing, and it's of the essence that the way the fishing industry is going, that we should have such a committee. I believe that your feelings along this line were the same as mine, and other people have spoken on a fisherman's committee. I have got a lot of comments from New Bedford, where I have an office, and one I also have an office in Gloucester, Massachusetts. But fishermen have asked me about this from time to time, and I've brought this up to you more than several times. I wish you'd consider it. And if you feel in your wisdom, and maybe the committee feels in this wisdom, that we should not have such a thing, that we should put it to rest. But I think it would be an asset to the fishing industry and other councils. I'm going to ask you, Mr. Chairman, and I know it needs to be go through NMFIS, but I'm going to ask you if the new vessel, the Bigelow's information, could be from time to time broadcasted to fishing industry personnel where they are looking for information. I will also be attending a mackerel meeting at the Mid-Atlantic Council next week, and many of the pelagic fishermen have known that the Bigelow has seen large areas of mackerel, and yet our vessels, being small, have had a hard time finding the big masses of mackerel that they're out there. It would be very good information to pass along from time to time when the Bigelow finds the large bodies and could pass it on to the fishing industry, whether it be mackerel or herring or whatever. I want to make one comment about the United States Coast Guard report today. Being a past member of the United States Coast Guard, I felt I wanted to pass on to everybody that the fatigue in the fishing industry is of the highest I've ever seen in my entire life, and I'm a third-generation fisherman out of the Port of Gloucester. The fatigue factor, where boats are going aground, almost hitting the Coast Guard station, is ridiculous, because the people that are fishing today have real small crews, unlike what they had years ago, because they cannot make it at $4.50 a gallon, limited days at seas, limited trip limits, closed areas, steaming offshore in small vessels and then trying to return home with one and two men crew. You know, it's just become a tragedy. In my last comment, Mr. Chairman, because there's probably others that need to speak, is I want to commend, from my own personal experience, the New England Fisheries Management Council staff. I've been around for a long time. I've sat on the council, but even now, as I sit in other positions, there's never been once that I called the New England Fisheries Management Council that I did not have a staff person assist me. And I've talked to other people that are in the industry. They do not sometimes get the acclimates that I like to give, and I thank them very much. And I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this time you allowed me.
Thank you, Vito. Senator Damon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the council. I'm Dennis Damon, and I'm a state senator from Maine. I'm proud to represent the Senate District 28, which is the coastal communities of southern Hancock County, the islands offshore, and the island community of Isle of Ho in Knox County. I come before you today because I'd like to present to you a resolution from the legislature of the state of Maine, much in the fashion as I did and you permitted me to do last year. At that time, my schedule was a little more rushed, and I was apologetic that I couldn't answer questions before you or spend some time to talk with you. But this joint resolution, which means it is a resolution of both the House of Representatives and the State Senate in Maine, comes to you imploring you to do the following. We, if you'll permit me to read this, we, your memorialists, the members of the 123rd Legislature of the State of Maine, now assembled in the first special session, most respectfully present and petition the delegates to the 2008 National New England Fisheries Management Council as follows. Whereas, pardon me, I have a bit of a springtime cold. Whereas New England has the oldest and richest fishing heritage in the nation, and it can be said that one of the reasons that New England and the United States itself were founded was the rich fishing grounds off our shores and their abundant populations of cod and other groundfish. And whereas the historical abundance of cod in the Gulf of Maine is legendary and is a foundation of Maine's culture and communities, and whereas in the last half century the groundfish stock within the Gulf of Maine has suffered a depletion, a sad depletion, and has not rebounded as it has in other regions, which threatens the economies of Maine's historic fishing communities and inflicts economic hardship on Maine's remaining groundfish families today. And whereas as an indicator of this decline, in the 10 years from 1996 to 2006, the state's active federal fishery permits have declined from 165 to 91, a 45% decline, and whereas, except for a few businesses left in Portland and Port Clyde that are barely surviving, the state of Maine has lost the shoreside firms that support the groundfish, including ice suppliers and fish buyers and processors, fishing gear shops and bait suppliers, boat repair businesses and trucking firms, and the accompanying added value. And whereas the loss of fish and the loss of fishing livelihoods and shoreside business have occurred under the current approach to management, which limits the days fishermen may go to sea, known as days at sea, and whereas days at sea alone has not, in the judgment of your memorialists, achieved the primary goal of fisheries management, which is to ensure the long-term regeneration of an abundance of groundfish in the Gulf of Maine and in the New England region, and thus rebuild the equitable redistribution of our fisheries resource among fishing communities and economies. And whereas the New England Fisheries Management Council requested public proposals for alternative systems of management for the New England fishery to provide for a more sustainable, renewable, and equitable distribution of our historic fishery resource, and whereas we must take every action possible to bring back the abundance of groundfish to the whole Gulf of Maine to continue to the rebuilding of groundfish throughout the New England region and to benefit coastal communities. And whereas the region's fishing grounds do possess the ability to recover two historic levels of productivity, and it is necessary to preserve Maine fishermen's opportunities to continue to fish when the groundfish stocks are recovered. And whereas many Maine communities have lost much of their access to the groundfish industry, and the ongoing erosion of federal groundfish permits and days at sea have severely restricted the ability of Maine permit holders to fish at all, so few days remaining, as a practical matter, rendering the permits useless and restricting the rights of Maine citizens to fish. And whereas community-based initiatives, including establishing sectors, permit banking, and area management, hold a great future hope for recovery of the resource, recognizing as they do the ecological differences between ocean regions and species, and emphasizing alignment of economic, ecological, and sustainable harvesting interests to ensure a long-term recovery of the fishing business in New England. And whereas we cannot sit by and permit our heritage to be lost on our watch and our communities removed from their connection to the sea, now, therefore, be it resolved that we, your memorialists, respectfully urge and request that the New England Fishery Management Council commit to establishment of an equitable future distribution and allocation of permits to all Maine fishermen, all qualified Maine fishermen, when stocks rebound, to ensure that the benefit of rebuilt groundfish stocks accrued to all Maine fishermen, and be it further resolved that we, your memorialists, request that the allocation process support not only individual permitted fishermen, but also traditional fishing communities and nonprofit community efforts intended to sustain our fisheries and the fishing way of life. And be it further resolved that we, your memorialists, request that the delegates from the state of Maine to the 2008 New England Fisheries Management Council support and actively work for an equitable allocation of future permits to qualified Maine fishermen when stocks rebound, to share the benefit with all Maine fishermen, to ensure that the allocation process benefits both individuals and communities, and to advocate for effective groundfish management through community-based initiatives, including establishing sectors, permit banking, and area management to benefit all who in days to come shall go down to the sea in ships and do business upon the great waters. And be it further resolved that suitable copies of this resolution, duly authenticated by the Secretary of State, be transmitted to John Papalardo, Chairman of the New England Fisheries Management Commission, Council, sorry, Rip Cunningham, Chairman of the Multi-Species Groundfish Committee, Paul Howard, Executive Director of the New England Fisheries Management Council, Pat Kirkle, Regional Director of the New England Fisheries Management Service, and to each member of the New England Fisheries Management Council and each member of the Maine Congressional Delegation. This resolution, Mr. Chairman, is signed by both the Speaker of the House and by the President of the Senate. It is attested to by our Secretary of State, and it is co-sponsored by myself and the other 12 members of the Maine Marine Resources Committee. I present it to you. I thank you for your patience and for your continued efforts in these regards. And I know that, I believe it is your Amendment 13 and your Amendment 16 deal specifically with two of the issues which are mentioned within the resolution. And I'd be happy to entertain questions if you have any. But thank you again for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you, Senator Damon. Any questions for Senator Damon? Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Steve Morgan. I'm the Vice President of CLS America, and I'm not here to make any requests of the Council, but rather to make an introduction. What's passing around the table for the Council members to take a look at is our new VMS unit that has been introduced to NOAA at NOAA headquarters for certification, hopefully later this month. It's fully compliant with all of the NOAA national regulations, including the New England Fisheries forms, et cetera, et cetera. That's the entire unit. That's the outdoor unit. It's got GPS and Iridium satellite system antennas built into that and all the functionality. The other part of the unit that goes in the wheelhouse is a computer about the size of a cigar box. To support emailing capability and filling out of the forms and so forth by the fishermen. That unit will be, once it's certified, completely eligible for reimbursement for those fishermen that buy within the window. And in fact, our plan is to not collect any money from the fishermen, but we've worked out an arrangement with NOAA to get reimbursed directly. So there's no cash out of pocket from the fishermen. It's a $3,000 unit, and the monthly costs vary anywhere from $30 to $50 a month, depending on how much you use it. Right now, CLS is possibly unknown to members of this council. To date, all of our work has been in Alaska. We have about 500 vessels equipped in the Alaska ground fishery up there and have had them since 2002. And then we're the market leader up there but have not been involved in any of the other regions throughout the U.S. And with this unit, we hope to change that. So hopefully you'll be hearing a little bit more about that, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone might have.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this this for the council, or do you want this back?
I'd be happy to sell it to you, but otherwise I need to take it back.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Matthew Davis, and I'm the Organizational Development Director with an environmental organization here in Maine called Environment Maine. And I'm here to offer some very brief comments on a presentation that you will hear on Thursday with the National Marine Fisheries Service. We'll talk about their proposed rule that just was published May 14th on basically harmonizing NEPA and the new Mackeson-Stevens provisions. I have these comments in more detail in written form, which will be passed out on Thursday. I sadly can't make it on Thursday because my wife is graduating from law school. So I'm just going to take a minute of your time here. We're very concerned with the proposed rules that have come out from the National Marine Fisheries Service. We believe that it is important to have a strong NEPA process such that there are environmental protections for a variety of different species and other environmental benefits. Specifically, we believe this proposal throws out 30 years of NEPA practice and resolved issues in favor of something that's untested and currently would throw a lot of question marks around in terms of how the rule might guide management of the fishery. We believe it also limits public comments, especially in the alternative, in the later stages when alternative proposals are presented. We also believe that it basically could reduce the amount of time that the public has to comment on proposals and on decisions about management. And finally, we believe in some instances it would enable fishery managers to completely circumvent environmental review of NEPA. We're primarily concerned with the long-term health of the fishery and of the oceans. We have about 4,200 members in the state of Maine who are basically make up our citizen support, and we have involved many of those in the process of reauthorization of Magnuson-Stevens, and we believe that our members and members of the public need to be able to comment on proposals. And again, this underlies our main concern with the rules that NIMS has put forward. I'll leave it at that, and I would entertain any questions here, but I think that taking a look at the written comments would probably be a better use of your time.
Thank you. And as you noted, we are going to address this on Thursday, but if you submit your comments, they'll be part of the record.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your time.
Anyone else? Okay. Moving on to the 11 o'clock agenda item, it's a presentation, an ecosystem approach to the assessment of the Gulf of Maine, Georgia's Bank Herring Complex.